Blog Talk Radio.
It was the Anglo-American Alliance that stood up and fought the tyranny which you hate. So did Norway. So did Denmark. So did the Scandinavians as well, who stood up and fought.
What do you think of Sweden?
Sweden was neutral.
What do you think of Sweden?
I think if people had been neutral against Hitler, Hitler would have won.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task. Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
Good afternoon and welcome to the English Defence League radio show, broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, the truth and the voice of the EDL. Experiencing some trouble today with my other phone, my cordless phone. It seems to have packed up, so I had a few issues trying to find another phone that worked. So I've got a prehistoric phone here now, ladies and gentlemen, which it feels fairly strange. As long as you can all hear me and the show that we're doing today, which is going to be a very interesting show. This is the English Defence League radio show. Tommy Robinson goes forth. This is, of course, one of my executive producers decides to say hello to everybody. Yes, Blue, everybody can hear you. But with that, I'd just like to read just the script. And I've got to thank Dave for some awesome slides today and the scripting. And I've had a few issues with my hand as well. I'm falling to bits, guys. Yeah. As I say, welcome to the English Defence League radio show with your host, that's me, Jeff, the Spider Mitchell, and my panellists. I did love what that slide of the Spider-Man, Dave, awesome, brother, this afternoon are Jan, the Tornado, Renee, and Dave, Agador, Milner. And this afternoon, we will be talking about journalists, author, human rights pioneer and founder of the EDL, Mr. Tommy Robinson. Also, we will be talking about events unfolding in the United States, with pipe bombs said to have been sent to people, and also a white powder substance. So we have a lot to talk about, including the upcoming midterm elections, and this could all be about it, and their implications regarding UK and United States relations, and the ongoing struggle with the ideology of the cult of Islam. Put soldiers, angels, and supporters of the cause. This show is your platform and voice, so please call in. No surrender ever. With that, I'd like to. Before we do, we won't be able to hear him unless I bring him in. sorry about that, Dave. I was having had your mute there, brother. My apologies. I've just noticed I'm in the air at the moment with my other phone. I can't imagine why it's just packed up like that. It just says. But anyway, Dave, I hope you can hear me okay.
Hell, good morning to you, Jeff. Good morning to everybody in the UK from the United States. And it's afternoon over there, so good afternoon to you all. And good morning to everybody in North America. I have to say, Jeff, you sound really smooth on this phone, man. I mean, you know, you sound like, Rico Suave on this thing, man. Yeah, I mean, you know, you got a really smooth-sounding voice. Picks up a little bit more of that bass, you know, very nice.
Oh.
A little bit more of the way you sound,
better,
man.
Would you say sounds better being plugged into the wall?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. And this is an old This is an old binocular. It was covered in ash. It works, brother.
Well, hey, man. You know, sometimes that old tech is the best. Sometimes that old tech is the best. You need, you know, those old microphones are very nice. The one I have is based on a fairly old principle, and people say, well, no, this sounds like you sound in real life. So, yeah, man, you know, you're sounding good. You're sounding good. And,
well, thank you, Dave. It's appreciated.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the only reason, I mean, it's so nice to have a cordless phone because, you know, sometimes it's a bit warm in here and I step outside and I had the phone with me, which, it's really nice for some days, you know, to sit there talking to the listeners and, on a nice day and drinking a nice cup of tea while we're discussing the issues of the week and the day, if any news is breaking. As I say, ladies and gentlemen, if any news does break at all, that's something that we've always prided ourselves in doing, is breaking new stories that come across our wires. We will, you know, continue to always work that way. I think it's only right, isn't it, Dave, if a story comes across that we think that our listeners should listen to what's going on, and then we will change our theme of what we might be doing, and we will jump straight into it. And we've always had done, haven't we, Dave? All these years we've
been doing Jeff,
the shows. Yeah.
And I want to report that Jen sent me a text, and she really wanted to be here today to talk about these fake bombing scares here in the United States. When we get to that segment of the show, and we will talk about this, people, she's got a nice article that she pointed me to. She unfortunately her relief is going to show up an hour later, so she may not be with us. But she really wanted to be. You know how much she likes covering this kind of thing, Jeff.
Of course.
But she's been doing her usual good works. And, you know, guys, we're going to have some very good analysis of all this stuff because, you know, I'll tell you right now, but while I'm queuing up the first of three Tommy Robinson clips we have that, in my opinion, okay, two things. I have to say the pro forma thing. All right. If by some remote chance this stuff is real, then, whoever did it, You know, meaning if by some chance this was somebody on the right that sent these things to all these lefties, I say, you know, bust him and throw him in the prison and leave him in there.
Yeah.
But I will tell you that I think this is all fake. I think this is all phony. And later in the show, when we get to it, I'm going to give you good logical reasons why I came to those conclusions. And Jeff, brother, and listen.
Di, before we continue, we've got two great people that's joining us in the chat room this afternoon. Gary, our dear Canadian friends there. And we've got Gary Kemper, and we've got Kel
the Infidel
Fox. I'm sorry, Kel. yes, and I was wondering, Dave,
welcome,
you don't
Gary.
Often do this to our friends and that, but I was wondering if you do the great honours today of giving them both a star, one of my favourite stars for people that's joining us in the chat room and that.
For the two of you, Gary and Kel, you know, just passed me the stars. I'll give you the stars, and you know, for Kel, I'll throw in the Maple Leafs jersey.
There you go.
Gary, I don't know who your team is, man. So, you know,
I don't know. You know what? Gary might be a bit miffed. He might be miffed if he don't get one. You don't know.
Gary, you know, whoever your team is, man, just let me know, and I'll pass you the an appropriate jersey for that, you know. But yeah, Kel you both get a gold star, and Kel gets a Maple Leafs jersey. You know, welcome to you both.
She's spoiled, Gary. She's spoiled, Al Kel. Gary says, I'm on your team, guys. She goes, I'm on your team. That's what Gary said.
Very nice, brother.
Here, Gary.
Appreciate it.
And I know the crap that they're having, that they got going in Canada. I hope not too distant future, Gary and Kel, that you're having someone different from him. Well, within the next year, isn't it? I think the Canadian elections is 2019. Am I right, Kel? Give me an heads up if I am, or I'm wrong. Smack you on the back of the wrist. But hopefully, I think I've got gold stars for that. Give me stars for that. There you go, Dave. But yeah, it seems our countries are suffering. Especially the socialist countries. I really don't like being a part of a socialist country, Dave. I really hate it. It's the death knell, I think, of all countries. This social. Look at Venezuela for instance. This is how we could turn out. We're going to end up eating our bloody animals in the zoos, ladies and gentlemen. That's how bad socialism is. And what Donald Trump, I like what Donald Trump, your president, said. I'm a nationalist. He said that. I didn't think he was going to say it, but he was going to say it. And I think a lot of us are. We are nationalists in our way. I don't want to be a part of the social circus which they've inflicted. This is damage and what do you say, Dave? You've seen it coming, haven't you, Dave? You've seen the social experiment fading and burning up, and it's terrible. It's terrible. But my apologies, Dave. I've gone on a bit of a tangent now. I'm so pleased to see Gary and Kel's joined us today, my dear friend. Dave?
And really happy to see Kel in the thing. So there you go. For some reason I muted myself, Jeff. I don't know why I did that. Anyway. All right. Now we're going to get to this. We have three clips from Tommy Robinson, and the first I'm going to play these kind of in reverse because the first one I'm going to play came from yesterday. and we are going to play his entire statement. We've got that in two clips. And reason, well, we're going to play it for a few reasons. Number one, because it's his statement. And number two, because the press refuses to run it. So we're going to run it here on the English Defense League radio show. But I wanted to run this first one that he put up for everybody yesterday. I wanted to run this one beforehand, because this one tells us a lot. It includes I Am Soldier X and all kinds of things like that there, Jeff. So if you're ready, I'm going to go ahead and run this first one, all right?
Yeah, no, go ahead, Dave.
All right, brother, here we go. This is Tommy Robinson from yesterday, folks.
Good evening. Do you know, I woke up this morning, probably about 5 o'clock this morning, and then started looking at the videos. And when you're in the middle of a moment, you don't realise just how big or special that moment is. So looking back, and once you come out of it, you have the opportunity to just realise just how great yesterday was. Unbelievable. For me, the feeling of seeing that support, also the passion in everyone that's there. Again, I'd say that the media have showed their complete contempt and their attitude. The Metro headline, this is one of the biggest red papers in Britain. Stella drinking Tommy Robinson supporters. There's probably thousands of people there. Out of thousands of people, three or four people might have had a can of Stella. And that's the headline they use. Because of the impeccable behaviour, and there was nothing negative to report, they then focused on a bit of litter on the ground and run headlines about that. Look at the litter left by Tommy Robinson's supporters. The litter and the area they were focusing on was where Unite Against Fascism, all 15 of them, were demonstrating. So I thought I'd have a catch up just today. I'm feeling rough, man. I'm feeling rough. The Sun, Tommy Robinson, and the Mail. Tommy Robinson, straight from demonstration to, I don't know, implying I was getting drunk in the House of Lords. I was drinking water in the House of Lords. I did have a few drinks yesterday to let my hair down. Who wouldn't have? But not in the House of Lords. It's like just every angle they have, they try to demonise and tarnish and make it look so that they can fit this narrative and image of the person that they want you to be. Not the person you are, but the person that they want you to be. The person that they want to tell the world you are. And it's them, the BBC, reported Tony Robinson addresses his 400 supporters outside court. Everyone's got social media. The British public will watch our videos and they'll know you're lying. Every media outlet, again, the idea of Ezra to bring independent, not journalists on our side, but independent journalists to pay their travel and their hotels to come and report on the case. I'm just realising, follow those journalists, I'll put a link to them, I'll put their names on here, and I'm following their reporting. And to find out that one of them who was sitting with the mainstream media in court, and they were all conspiring together. This is Associated Press, the main news networks. They were conspiring together on how many people to say were at our demonstration to downplay the numbers. They are not there as journalists to report the truth to you, the public. They are liars. And I'm glad, so glad, again, I've called them out. And since then, I've just followed all their news articles. If there's not a conspiracy, how come my court case was not heard yesterday because it was too complex after the judge read my evidence and my statement? Not one single newspaper, from what I understand, none, have reported
anything that was said in my statement. The main evidence that got the case taken down, and none of them have reported it. None of them. It's like, come on. All they're running with. It's like, what are you doing? You're just... But they don't even realise. The more they do this, because the public are now watching, there's 8,500 people watching this live. If you'll all kindly share this video, it will be seen. It's like... They expose themselves every time. People know they're lying. They know what they're saying. Today, do you know what? The fella's that irrelevant, I've never even heard of him. Some Scottish MP today stood up and made comments and accusations about myself. Now, so people understand, he has parliamentary privilege, which means they can say what they want in Parliament and no one can do anything about it, even if it's lies. So he stood up today in Parliament and he said, I am a racist, violent thug, and that I spend my days incite racial hatred. If I incited racial hatred, considering the government want to silence me and stop me, don't you think I'd have been arrested for inciting racial hatred? He can stand up, make all of these accusations with zero evidence to what he's saying, and then, like, I'm quite small, but what's his name, Burko? The little chubby, dwarfy-looking fella who's the Speaker of the House of Commons, is he? He then backs up saying, yes, well, I completely agree with your assessment of who that man is. He had known nothing about me. I completely agree. If ever there was a video of people from a different class looking down on other people, it's these two morons, without even realising that when they do this, everyone's going to watch that video and just think, you traitors are so out of touch. So out of touch. And you're looking down upon us. And it's not just that when they make these comments, I think, it's not just a comment about me. I just seen someone say, how's your new £950,000 house? The house I'm sitting in is a house I built, yeah? With land I bought, actually for £200,000. With a mortgage. You morons. But anyway, that's again the mainstream media building lies. Just building anything they can find. The Sun newspaper are currently harassing after my solicitors trying to run a story now because I said I sacked my lawyers. Now, it was the wrong wording. What happened was I got rid of the QC. Not my solicitors. Carson Kay had been my solicitors. And I got rid of the QC. And it was the QC who was trying to get me to go guilty. So I'm so glad I didn't. And I'm so glad I did that. So, yeah, it's just... It's unbelievable, really. None of them have reported it. None of them reported what was said in my statement. None of them reported the fact that other journalists have broke the same reporting restriction. None of them. They've all just focused on anything they can use to paint anything negative. When there was nothing negative yesterday, there was actually a festival or a jubilant atmosphere outside the Old Bailey by thousands of hard-working, decent British people. But of course, they'd never report that. And this case was exposed again for what it is. And all the journalists, do I have any regrets? They need to be going and finding Judge Marston and asking him if he has any regrets. So this MP, the MP that stood up today and made all these accusations, my words to him would be simple. If you're a man of your word, and you would stand by your word, come out of Parliament and repeat what you said about me. Repeat what you said where you haven't got parliamentary privilege, which would prevent me from suing your sad ass, because you made statements about me which are complete lies. And you know they're lies. And you all know they're lies. But you just think, and you can't even see, it's like Sky News done this. I had a meeting this morning with a barrister. I was back in London first thing this morning to meet with a barrister to discuss. I'm looking at options now to go on the offensive for some of the things that have happened and things that have been said about me, which are complete lies. Complete lies that they can't back up. I know they can't back them up. But obviously he uses private parliamentary privilege to run a headline. The headline all now goes around. Whereas what they think is, they think that by saying this, and this headline that is running around now about me being a loathsome, basically just slamming me by Burke or whatever his name is. I think it's by this little bloke who's in the House of Commons who's had accusation after accusation after accusation of bullying against him, who they have their own sexual problems going on in the House of Commons, and he should get his own house in order before he starts trying to slam me. But again, neither of these men would say what they've said outside of the House of Parliament, because then they'd be in a courtroom and then they'd have to stand there and look ridiculous, having zero evidence to back up their claims. Unbelievable. And you saw the reaction, yeah? You all saw the reaction they've had, because I sat and had a meal after I was invited by Lord Pearson with Jared Batten and others in Parliament. Could you imagine if I stood for Parliament? Could you imagine if I was voted in? Could you imagine the scenes inside Parliament? It's also, I've always said I don't want to be a politician, but there's actually no one in our establishment, not one person that's an elected MP that stands and speaks openly and honestly about the real problems in this country. There's not one. There is not one. What a sad state of affairs. Look to Holland. Look to France. Look at the Front National and Marine Le Pen in France. They have mayors, MPs, all over the whole country. They're all speaking openly and honestly. Look to any other parliament in Europe. They all have representatives of their people, of the people's movements, the anti-establishment, freedom-loving parties across Europe, all have representation. We don't. We have none. That, at some point, it's going to have to change. And I think that when I watch these videos, I just think the average person is going to watch you standing up there with your posh voice looking down upon us whilst you spout lies that most people will know are lies. And it's you, I think, that come across far worse when you make these accusations and you stand there pompously slamming and slandering me. Well, I don't have any, this is my only opportunity to defend myself on social media, which is why you're working tirelessly to remove me from social media. I had my Twitter account removed. I've had 2 strikes off YouTube in the last month. 3 strikes and your YouTube account is closed down. What they've given me strikes for, without telling me exactly what it is, was for I'd done an interview on German TV. They've given me a strike for that, for hate. You know, if it was hate, I'd be arrested for it. Okay? Now, so I currently haven't uploaded anything onto my YouTube channel, because I believe the strikes last 3 months. So they are using, just like Twitter did, and there's a video of Labour MPs grilling the CEO of YouTube, asking why Tommy Robinson's videos are on YouTube. If ever I've seen an example of fascism, it is when a government is pressurising a private company in order to remove someone's views because the government don't like them. Not because they break any laws, but that pressure, just like the pressure would have been put on Twitter after Darren Osborne, after they opened up a court case on Darren Osborne's court case saying that I had direct Twitter messages with Darren Osborne, which again was a complete lie. But that was enough basis to put pressure on Twitter to then have me removed. And they're doing now the same with YouTube. And eventually it will be with Facebook. So we better make the most of this while we have it. And I've appealed the YouTube strikes. I've appealed them. So I just don't want to give them the excuse. I might now have to not use YouTube for the next 8 weeks. But yeah, that's it. I just thought I'd give my views on a couple of the instances. The media again. And the thank yous. If you've watched, I had I've thanked everyone when I was on stage. Yeah. This movement needs to go political. It has to go political. There has to be a political option for all of you people who are feeling not listened to, silenced. I'm going to start a new campaign tomorrow, and I'm going to give an update on I Am Soldier X as well. But I'll wait until I've got some finalised information. I'll be handing that petition in next week. So to everyone who signed it, thank you very much. If you haven't signed it, it's at standwithourlads.com. I'll be delivering that, and then I'll be giving you an update on the situation with the soldiers. We've had 6 soldiers now who have, we've linked up with a lawyer, who the lawyer's been discussing options with them. But again, I'll do a proper video to detail where we're at early next week on that. Yeah, my throat, man. When I was giving my speech, I could hardly speak. But again, the curry was great. Papa J's. There's one in Luton, there's one in Milton Keynes. Beautiful. And I'll just say again, just that every single person that turned up, I know you travel from far, I know you book days off, and you have to understand how much it meant to me, how much it means to me, and how much of a difference I think it's made. I think, to be honest, yeah, I've got a connection. So, thank you again, yeah? Thank you again. And, I can now, I'm not in limbo anymore, so now I can make my plans on what I want to do, and I want to do a lot. Yeah, again, I'll update you with the plans as and when they're happening, so thank you very much.
Well, there you go, and thank you very much, Mr. Tommy Robinson, journalist, author, and founder of the English Defence League. My goodness me, Dave, you know what, I never get tired of hearing Tommy talk about the situation and different things, and what really jumped out at me today with what Tommy had to say was that he was thinking of maybe going political. I think he's got a good firm base to do it. You need a bit of money behind you to do that as well. Maybe he could run as an independent. He could set up an independent party away from the main, categories, what we normally find. Maybe that is a way. So if you're listening to me, you're probably busy doing other things, and knowing you with your different plans that you're doing, a very, very busy gentleman he is, and he's doing some great works out there, and I think we all applaud him for his steadfastness and the way he calls out the mainstream media. And it made me chuckle because they are the state run media. There's no two ways about it. And it's often been said that they lie, they misinform, and so as to put people on the opposite sides to what we do. And we are the good guys. What we do, what Mr. Robinson does, and what the EDL does, we are the good guys. Even though they try to demonise us and try to sell these things. And half, as he said, those ones that stood up in the House of Lords and give it all the large and really being talking about Tommy being racist, this, that and the other, they couldn't do that outside the court. And there's a reason why. Tommy's well clued up now. He's got a medium brief. He's got a brief that will, if anything's said like that, he will, and I think he's going to start going after those that call him, and definition of character, and everything they say about him is wrong. I mean, trying to say that he's a racist, he's never, in all the years that when he came on the show, nothing out of the ordinary would you think, and, oh, that was a bit, you know. No, he's always been precise with what he says. He's never said anything racial. Speaks out against Islam, but you can speak out against this death cult. But it was good to hear him in a good mood. It was good to know there's a bit of a weight of him. As I say, what Tommy did was that statement that he sent to that judge. That judge realised that what case they've got against, or what the Crown's got against Mr. Robinson, is flimsy. It does not stand up. And that's the reason why it's passed along to the Attorney General. The reason why? Because that judge couldn't act in judgment. He couldn't be the judge and jury. If anything, it had to go in front of a judge and jury. And he realised that. There was a point of law, and I think that judge summed it up. He knew that Tommy Robinson, what he said in that statement, was spot on, and he knew that if he tries to take it down that path of the Crown, that is jeopardy. That is a case of jeopardy for the Crown, and they do not want to be seen as being in jeopardy. That, to me, Dave, is my honest opinion. They realise that their case is in jeopardy, and what they do is pass it along to the Attorney General, the highest authority of the land. It's yours now. You juggle it around a bit and see what you can go. I do believe, in the end, Tommy will get a letter saying, look, regarding this matter, the Crown, blah, 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 the Queen's stuff, realise that there isn't enough to go on. I do believe that it will be thrown out one way or the other. It will be thrown out. But they've got to hang it out. They've got to keep doing it because they're in a pretty jeopardous situation, the Crown. I personally believe. But Dave, really well said, Tommy said. But what jumped out at me was what he said about a political side of things. I think he's got a hell of a lot of support, and I don't think he'd have too many problems with any type of financing. He's got quite a few people out there that would back him in his corner, you know. He's got lots and lots of friends. He's got a lot of enemies. We do know that. Dave, yeah, sorry, mate. I knew he was going to say something. Go on, mate.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask, Jeff, if you need to call back in, because if you do, I have a fairly short tune that's appropriate. If you need to call back in, now might be the time to do that. And then, we'll come back and run the rest of these.
Keep your fingers crossed, I'll be able to get back,
though. Well, you should be able to, you know, if nothing else on your landline, you should be able to. But, if you're ready, Jeff, I'll go ahead and run a tune so that you can call back in, and then we'll talk some more about it, okay?
Okay, mate. Cheers, Dave.
Cool. All right, everybody, please stay tuned for the second half of the English Defense League radio show. We'll be right back.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, welcome back. Back.
That is second half of the English Defence League radio show. Yeah, I did have problems calling back, Dave. It's, when I put my my number in, like I normally do, it normally makes a beeping noise and it works. So I had to recall again. But then again, I'm back. I'm back.
Hey, Jeff is back.
Don't keep
the bad
dog down.
That's right, brother. That's right. Yeah.
As I say,
I think Kel liked that song, by the way.
Yeah, it's catchy. There's another one that they were singing outside. Believe it or not, they were singing outside the Old Bailey, and I can't remember who does it, but it comes under the name of Hallelujah, and it's. Mm-hmm. You know, it says about them putting Tommy, you know, persecuting Tommy. It's a really,
right.
really great tune. I can't remember who done it. I think we played it once, going back a while ago, Dave. But yeah, I just hope he keeps fighting. It's because you've got no choice. It's him against them, isn't it? You know what I mean?
And them against us
all. You know,
exactly. That's it. You
and
know, just
that
like
is
the giant ants.
No,
yeah, them. Yeah, Jeff. Well, you know what? I mean, we only have 45 minutes left, and I want to be sure to get both of these in. All right.
Good.
I'm going to run. I
hope Kelly and Gary's enjoying the show. It was a bit of a mucking about early, wasn't it, Dave? Getting it, everything sorted out, but
right,
we got back.
Right.
It's lucky, Dave. It's lucky I had that bloody old phone there, wasn't it, mate? Hey, it was covered
in
cigarette ash and everything, man. You could hardly see it was a phone.
Yep. Well, you got in, Jeff, and that's the important thing. And we want to get Tommy's full statement in, so I'm going to run part one of it now, and this is about 16 minutes. This happened. This was done on the 23rd. This was after he came out of the Old Bailey. And this is the statement, people, that the press refused to run. But we're going to run it here on the English Defense League radio show. And by the way, you can also find it at my Facey page, Dave Miller, on Facebook. And more importantly, you can find it on Tommy Robinson's Facey page. So here we go, guys. This is the first half of his statement.
It's this statement that has changed what is happening today. I'll read this statement to you. I, Stephen Lennon, journalist of an address in Luton, will say as follows. This is a bit of a long statement, so just bear with me. Share this, share it wide. Louis, are you facing there, little man? I am the defendant in these contempt proceedings, and the court has served me with two allegations of contempt. This is one more than I faced at the Crown Court of Leeds. In relation to the first allegation, breaching the order of the court, which requires, as I understand, an intention to interfere with the administration of justice, I would like to say this. Firstly, I would like to assure the court that undermining the court's authority or interfering with the administration of justice was never my intention. I believed I acted in good faith within the parameters of the Section 4 reporting restriction in place. The information I provided was in the public domain. It was factual and relevant, but did not provide any details of the trial's proceedings other than what had already been reported previously and was readily available online. I rely on the documents in my bundle as examples of what had previously been reported. When I arrived at Leeds Crown Court, and I hope the media are going to actually print this. When I arrived, When I arrived at Leeds Crown Court that morning, I could not obtain any specific details of the reporting restriction order. I do not believe there is a website which holds such details. So I researched online and I reviewed the reporting restriction guidelines provided. They state that the court should include details of reporting restrictions on the court listings, both online and in court, and also provide a notice on the door of the court. My solicitors have photographic evidence to show that the court did not follow these guidelines that day. There were no details listed anywhere of a reporting restriction for this case. This is also in the bundle. The only time the notification about reporting restrictions was available was later that afternoon, after the court had convicted me and sent me to prison. Only then did the court follow the guidelines and list the reporting restriction against the court listings for both the grooming case, the Islamic rape jihad case, and my subsequent case. After my previous experience with contempt of court in Canterbury, I went out of my way to ensure that I would not fall foul of the law again. I privately paid for training with one of London's leading law firms, Kingsley Napoli, to cover all details regarding contempt of court. There is a documentation in relation to this in my bundle. On that morning at Leeds Crown Court, I had knowledge of the verdicts of the first phase of the trial. I knew many of the specific details discussed in court for this particular trial. I did not talk about these in my live stream on that day. I had understood, based on my training, that the specifics of the case and the verdicts were off limits for reporting restrictions. Drink. Having... Thank you, man. Having been unable to obtain any details from the court on the conditions of the reporting restriction, I decided to review the guidelines for reporting restrictions. On the judiciary's website, there is a practical guide aimed at judges and the media on the statutory and common law principles that should be applied with regards to reporting restrictions. This paper was called Reporting Restrictions in the Criminal Courts Act. In this paper, it states, the courts have no power under Section 4(2) of the Contempt of Court Act to prevent publication of material that is already in the public domain. See page 27 of this document. I followed my training and this guidance to the letter. I did not divulge any of the previous case verdicts. I did not detail any specifics mentioned in the trial. I did not assume guilt. I refrained from entering court property. I even asked the officer outside court where the court boundaries were and was I okay to film, which he replied and confirmed I was. I also followed the guidance document issued on the judiciary website informing me that I could only reference information that was already in the public domain. Every single thing I said that day was in the public domain. I actually read the charges and the names of the defendants from a BBC News article, which to this day is still live on their website. I also made sure not to film anyone other than the defendants. I was calm and respectful throughout. It is my understanding that there is no individual in the last 60 years that has been sentenced to prison for a publication breach of a reporting order. It would appear that my punishment is exceptional. I would ask that I am treated in the same manner as every other journalist who has been charged with these allegations. The journalist Rod Liddell was writing for the Spectator magazine in relation to the Stephen Lawrence murder trial when he was sentenced for breaching a Section 4 order and risking prejudice to the trial. He was given a fine. Journalists at the Daily Mail and the Daily Mirror published highly prejudicial material on the trial of Levi Belfield, who abducted and murdered an 11-year-old child. This contempt of court led to the collapse of the entire case and the discharge of the jury. It robbed one of the victims of the chance of justice. The reporters in this instance were not prosecuted. Instead, their employers were found guilty of contempt and fined £10,000. The Daily Mirror have run hit piece after hit piece after hit piece against me for this crime when they have committed far worse in the history. I have reviewed the court transcripts from Leeds Crown Court, where the judge was discussing various reporting order breaches. The judge and the CPS discussed the fact that multiple news sources breached the very same order placed on my trial, and some breaching both the reporting orders by mentioning the grooming trial as well as my arrest and prison term. Lizzie Dearden, the Home Office... Hello, Lizzie, you're here somewhere. The Home Office Affairs Correspondent at The Independent actually refused to remove her article when provided with the order stating that the effect of social media voids reporting restrictions. The CPS and the judge agreed that these breaches of the order were a matter for the Attorney General to review. When I was informed of the blanket order, I offered to delete my video immediately. Despite the multiple breaches of the order by different newspapers that weekend and the flat-out refusal by Lizzie Dearden to take her article down, not one of these journalists or the editors of those publications have ever been arrested or prosecuted for breaching Section 42 of the Contempt of Court Act. According to the court transcripts, the newspaper breaches of the reporting order was a matter for the Attorney General. My case was not referred to the Attorney General for review. Instead, I was hauled into court immediately, refused my own choice of legal representation, prosecuted and convicted in a matter of minutes in what the Court of Appeal regarded as a flawed trial. I was then imprisoned for over 2.5 months in solitary confinement until I won the appeal. I was held against my categorisation, moved to the highest Muslim population Cat C prison in Britain, subjected to mental torture and constant threats and abuse, and had all of my rights removed in the interests of prison safety. It is clear to me that my continued persecution and heavy-handed tactics from the state is because of who I am rather than what I did. In relation to the second allegation, the strict liability allegation, I would like to say this. It is only since my original trial that there has been an additional charge added, suggesting that the contents of my live stream were prejudicial to this case. The case completed, the jury concluded, and the verdicts were given. I would like to state clearly that in the transcripts from the original trial, the judge discussed my video with Mr. Wright QC, prosecution counsel. Having reviewed the entire content of my video, Mr. Wright stated in court, and I'll quote, "There is nothing they could have seen that could in any way prejudice them against the defendants." Judge Marston agreed on the record in court. For this reason, I cannot see why I should face two charges when the core of the allegation in front of Judge Marston was the breach of the Section 4-2 order, other than because I am regarded as a political activist and the charges are motivated by my political activism. I do not accept that the material that was live streamed created either a real or substantial risk of prejudice to the Leeds proceedings. The prosecution counsel and the judge both agreed on the court transcripts that my live stream could not have prejudiced the jury. Will the media please report that? In fact, sorry, we don't need the media to report that because we are the media. Everything I reported that morning was fair and accurate, published in good faith within the constraints of the judiciary's guidelines for the media. I will address each point in the allegations drafted by the advocate of the court. The first allegation is that I suggested the defendants were involved in wider criminal activity. This is not correct. I was referring to two reports. One on the radio and one in the Huddersfield Examiner, which set out the allegations relating to the 29 individuals. The second allegation is that stating that those of the same ethnicity and religion as the defendants were disproportionately likely to commit the crimes for which the defendants were being tried could prejudice the trial. This statement is factually correct. The Quilliam Foundation, who are a Muslim-run anti-extremism think tank, have produced a research paper looking at convictions of these street grooming from 2005 to 2017. This is in the defence bundle. They found 84% of all convictions were South Asian, with the significant majority of those being Pakistani Muslim. All of these victims were white children. Yes. Sajid Javid, the Home Secretary himself, announced on BBC News this year that in these types of street grooming, the individuals convicted are from a disproportionately Pakistani background. Yes. Nazir Afzal is the former head of the Crown Prosecution Service in the northwest of England. He's a lead prosecutor on child sexual abuse, and he also publicly stated on Channel 4 News that Asians, Muslims, and Pakistanis in particular are disproportionately involved in this type of street grooming. He also presented these facts in front of Parliament.
And there you go, Jeff. There's the first half.
Yeah, I mean, powerful. And
oh, yeah.
Something did jump out at me a little bit about that. Was Tommy being briefed or educating himself on the legal technicality of the case? I think that is awesome. And that is one of the reasons I think the judge who read his statement realised that Tommy isn't just the run-of-the-mill working-class man. He is a very clever and shrewd man. And you need to have your wits about you when you're going against the snake pit of evil out there. Good to see that Tommy's been clued up, and a bright way forward for that young man. And he summed it up so well, and you could see that he put heart and soul into what he did there. Dave, I mean, I've got to admit, Tommy just gets better and better. His whole, the awakening of the world with Mr. Robinson is just going from strength to strength. I mean, the world has got its eyes wide open, never like it is today. And also, the people now are looking, as we was talking about, socialism in a different light now. We realise how dangerous socialism is to our countries. I mean, you've known it, Dave. We've talked about it often, myself and you. I think me and Kel's talked about it, you know, in the past.
That's the thing, brother. I mean, when socialism can't convince you that they're doing the right thing through BS, you know, through a lot of talk and stuff like that, then they go violent and they start to try and step on the people. We're seeing that here in the United States.
It turns into fascism.
Tom Robinson's case is a perfect example. His case is a perfect example of fascism. And, Jeff, you know, I want to say to the listeners real quick, we're going to get in depth into this pipe bomb garbage, which, you know, I mean, every instinct I have from studying this stuff for 50 years tells me that this is crap. Okay. We're going to get into that in depth.
Gary did ask me. Just to give you a heads up, that Gary did mention it, and I did. That's why I had to chat to you about it. As I say, Gary, we won't have enough time today because we got a second part of a statement that's coming up.
But we will be
spending a lot of time Sunday. So please stay tuned.
We will.
The EDL radio show Sunday, brother.
Yeah, exactly. and that's part of it, Jeff. That's the part of the whole. The whole fascistic thing that socialism gets into, you know, they even get into trying to influence elections by doing things like that fake pipe bomb scare, you know, and all of that. And it gets into things like this ridiculous witch hunt against Tommy Robinson. And I'm going to go ahead now, guys, and play the second half of it. This one, again, is, you know, sorry I didn't tell you guys about this before, but this one, again, is about 17 minutes long. And then, you know, we'll do final thoughts and that kind of thing. But we really did want to get his whole statement out there because the fake stream media won't do it. We will do it here. So, Jeff, that's what we're here for, because we are the mainstream media now.
We're citizen journalists, and we're the mainstream media. So, and we like the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, you like the truth, and that we guarantee this radio show, myself and Dave and Jan and anybody else that works with us, we guarantee you, our listeners, our foot soldiers, angels out there, that the truth will always come your way.
And we're going to do it right now. Here we go. This is going to be the second half of Tommy Robinson's statement, folks. So here you go.
I merely stated factual insight into the ethnicity and the religious makeup of the perpetrators of these crimes. I repeated publicly available research papers from the Quillian organization, testimony from the former head of the Crown Prosecution Service in the Northwest, and a statement from our Home Secretary himself, all three of which are in fact Pakistani Muslims themselves. I do not accept that reporting facts on the ethnicity or the makeup of a particular offender group could be categorised as contempt of court, given the number of grooming trials currently in progress across our country and the commentary on those facts which are widely discussed online and in the media. The third allegation, my voice is going, the third allegation is to highlighting as significant the sexual references of the abuse that I elicited from the defendants could prejudice the trial. I asked each of the defendants what their views were on the verdict they were expecting that day. All three of them separately made aggressive, vulgar sexual references or sexual threats against both my mother and my wife. I did not ask the defendants to comment on their views on my wife or my mother. They did this out of the blue. Repeating what they actually said in the video has no relevance or prejudice on this trial itself. The fourth allegation in Britain, in a court, is that I made derogatory comments about the religious backgrounds of the defendants. I would like to point out I was not talking about specific defendants on trial. I was referring to a reaction I'd received by family and friends on previous convicted grooming gangs. By derogatory comments, it appears to mean telling the truth that under Islamic law, the age of consent coincides with puberty. In Islam, there is no set age for marriage. The Islamic false prophet Muhammad, who is said to serve as a role model for every Muslim, is reported by Sunni Hadith sources to have married Aisha when she was 6 and raped her when she was 9. Muhammad was aged 56 years old at this time. The prosecution may not like to hear the truth, but there is no way that me sharing the truth and facts about a particular religion on social media can lead to prejudice on a trial. In relation to the fifth allegation, a number of comments relied on were made by other people. My comments related to grooming trials generally across the country rather than this particular case, e.g. the exchange at page 8 of the transcripts of the live stream relating to Rotherham and Oxford. I made it clear throughout my video that the trial concerned allegations. I made it clear that the defendants were innocent until proven guilty. I'm glad I've only got to do this once, please. Hey. The nature and the number of these ongoing trials, prosecutions and investigations is highly alarming. I believe it is in the public's interest to hear the details and know of the complexities and the connections amongst the previous prosecutions. The future safety of vulnerable children at risk is my concern here, not the perceived prejudice towards the defendants because of their ethnicity or religion. If 29 Christian priests were on trial on such charges with reporting restrictions, I would feel exactly the same. When I initially went to Canterbury Court, I did so in what I felt was the public's interest. The police had DNA evidence on all four of the now convicted child rapists. Yet the decision was made to grant these individuals bail. They were still running the same takeaway shop and coming into contact with young school children. One of the defendants absconded to Afghanistan. With DNA evidence on each of the now convicted child rapists, it is my belief that they should have been remanded to prison until trial in order to protect vulnerable children in the surrounding area. made to release these paedophiles back into the community on bail. The same danger was placed on the children in case in question. The now convicted child gang rapists on trial in Leeds that day were also free to walk on the streets on bail. There were 18 different witness statements detailing the rape and the torture of those children, yet the justice system decided that they did not pose a risk to the British public and granted them bail. Just like the Canterbury case, one of these child rapists in Leeds also absconded before his verdict was reached. I believe he has fled to Pakistan, and according to the court transcripts, he was last seen leaving his house with a large bag. That is a convicted child rapist free to roam the streets because he was deemed no risk to the public, and Judge Marston granted him bail. Due to the reporting restrictions on the case, for the last 5 months, none of the British public have been allowed to be made aware that this man is on the run. When the reporting restrictions were lifted, how many national newspapers or news agencies have run with a picture of this man? No. But instead, they've run with headlines saying, "I risk letting them go free." I have previously been charged with a non-violent offence. I was remanded straight to prison to await trial. At Leeds Crown Court in May this year, the police whisked me from the streets. I was subjected to a fundamentally flawed trial, and then I was sent straight to prison within 5 hours. This is all whilst the very same system allows alleged child rapists with multiple prosecution witness statements and even DNA evidence implicating them to the crime to continue to walk our streets. The court has a duty to the victims and to the public to protect them, and telling them could help stop ongoing child sexual exploitation and maybe prevent future vulnerable children from falling victim to it. Again, I would like to reiterate that undermining the judge, the court, or the proceedings and the supremacy of the law of the administration of justice was never my intention. But I truly believe that the reporting restriction on this trial and subsequent connected trials are detrimental to the public and should never have been imposed, so the public could hear the details, use the full knowledge of the proceedings to help prevent cases like this coming before the courts. Jurors are given a responsibility. They are aware of the consequences of researching the cases they sit on. It should be upon them, and we should trust them to do the task with honesty and integrity. It should not be for the British public to be kept purposely in the dark just in case they do not. Yes. The contents of this witness statement are true and to the best of my knowledge and my belief. That was my statement that would have been read to the court. would like to start off with some thank yous. Carson Kay, my solicitors. Richard Furlong, my barrister. My defence team, paid for by you. Have worked tirelessly behind the scenes, even for the last 24 hours with their submissions. What comes now? And this is where the intent on what they're doing. I have now come to this court three times. Three times with my bag ready to go to prison. That's three times I've kissed my children and my wife goodbye. This political witch hunt must end now. The decision will now go to the Attorney General, and I hope he sees justice, sense. I am being told now that I may be back in court in 4 to 6 months. Now, that is how long it will take to bring another trial against me. I hope, once the Attorney General reads my statement to the court, I hope they do the right thing and I can get on with my life and make plans for the future. I do believe that with this support, with the support that's been shown, that the Attorney General will kick this into the long grass. I want to just say again, you all did get me free. All of you got me free. I also want to say that problem last night, an emotional mess. But I want to say that when I come out of prison, I wasn't in a great place, but I've come on recovery and everyone's given me so much support and time. I want to thank you as well from my family.
Wow. That, ladies and gentlemen, was Mr. Robinson's statement, and powerful. very much. The guy, the charisma, something about Tommy Robinson, come after time, come after man. He definitely is at the time and that man. I hope you've enjoyed what we've, myself and Dave, Dave's worked tirelessly today, putting those clips out for you, our great listeners. Thank you very much, Dave. What can I say? You could hear the love and the support. This is genuine.
Totally.
You could hear that outpouring of how much the people. Tommy's the people. He's the people. And that is the reason why he's so much thought about. It's just, it's moved me. That moved me, actually, Dave. I've got to also thank Kel and Gary. Gary, they've been making some comments about the things that these travellers, this caravan as well. Very interesting sometimes in the chat room, Dave. Thank you, Gary and Kel, with your support today. And we discuss more of those issues this Sunday, won't we, Dave? But once again, Dave, thank you very much for, as I say, those slides today was awesome. And scripting and everything good you've done today. And it was great having Kellen and Gary sitting with us today. So,
and thank you,
Dave,
for the help,
Kel. As I say, we're right down to a few minutes or so, haven't we, Dave? We ain't got that, that long. Dave, where can people find you during the week? You've got some other things coming up this week, haven't you, Dave? I think. Yeah.
All right, Jeff, I'm going to try and be quick here. First of all, your instincts were right. You said that Tommy would walk out of court and not have to go to prison. So, you know, good on you for that. You had it. And I just want to say to people, you know, catch me at the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com. That's under the SHR Media. And, of course, I'm at High Plains Pundit Talk Radio and the Western Free Radio Network. Got a show right now, you know, called Evagination about, you know, about the negation of men in the United States of America. And coming up on Saturday at midnight Eastern or 5 a.m. in the UK, the biggest, longest show that I've ever done, a record, going to do a pre-election special with Ken McClinton, purveyor of the Exceptional Conservative Network himself. It's going to be big. It's going to be monster. It's going to be like House of Dracula. It's going to be the Frankenstein monster, the Wolfman Dracula. It's going to have everything in it. You're going to want to hear this. And then on election night, I'm going to be with Ken and with many of his fine hosts on the Exceptional Conservative Network starting at 7 p.m. Eastern. That's going to be 8, 9, 10, 12. That's going to be midnight in the U.K. All right. So, got a lot of big, big stuff coming up. And I just want to say, Jeff, I appreciate you very much. And Kel, again, thank you for the help today. To the foot soldiers, angels, and supporters of the cause in the English Defense League and patriots around the world, no surrender ever. And God bless you. Be blessed. Back to you, brother.
Thank you, Dave. Yeah, I'm right down. I've got about 1 minute and 20 seconds. I've got to thank everybody today that's tuned into the radio show. If you've enjoyed it as much as we, myself and Dave, have been presenting the show today. So with that, without further ado, you take care, stay safe, just be vigilant, ladies and gentlemen. Please be vigilant out there. No surrender, no surrender ever. And here we go. I've got to go. I've got to do it.
I'm so happy. I can't see the fine things happening here today. A show of strength with your five brigades. I'm so happy and you're so fine. You want more money, of course, I don't mind. My nuclear test was for Tommy's wife. That's the public gets what the public wants. Tomorrow.
relax me. I'm too busy dodging through the factory. Here's what you get. You made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your lead and the place you trust. And the lies will shut down and the promises run. You'll be killing machines with paper rockets and guns. And the public wants what the public gets. But I don't give a
There you go. We're right at the end. My goodness me, the show went very quick today. But I've got to thank you all for tuning in to the English Defence League radio show. I really appreciate it. And we'll be back again this Sunday. Don't forget, we've got a new time. We've reverted back to the old time of 8:30. It's still British summertime, is it? It's British summertime, and it's about 3:30. Well, you know. Anyway, we've reverted back to that time. But we'll see you Sunday. And we've got a lot to talk about this Sunday. So you take care, guys, and we'll see you soon. We'll see you Sunday. Cheers, everybody. Bye-bye. Thank you.